one Laughter Award, one Poke Award, and three Sony Awards.
Oh, look at us, we've got an award from the man.
1.7 gazillion confirmed listeners and rising.
One text in, it just says WTF.
After countless early starts and possibly too much coffee.
If you're in bed, just remain where you are.
The bigger and better XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. Now from 6 a.m.
It's not good news, is it?
It's not good news.
No. That's great news.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there. Welcome to podcast number 47. And I'll tell you what, it is a bumper podcast for you this week. We're back and we're raring to go. I'll tell you what, though. It's kind of... Well, I mean, it's very welcoming to the female listener this week. I mean, don't be put off if you are a gentleman, but Heartthrob Robert Pattinson will be on. Heartthrob Andrew Garfield will be on. We'll be doing Dave Masterman's erotic 50 Shades of Dave and 50 Shades of Yorkshire Grey. We need some way of balancing this out so that the gentleman listener does not feel hard done by at all. The work experience, Steve, you had an idea.
I think we should do a thing called Lads Hour.
Lads Hour?
Yeah.
We're the least laddie show on British radio, I would say.
Well, you don't know this about me, but I am actually a massive lad.
Are you?
Yeah.
What makes you laddie?
Well, just being from Essex immediately raises your lad profile.
I see, all right. Well, what is Lads Hour?
Basically, Lads Hour, you just get a bunch of lads, preferably my mates. So we get the Norm, Hesse, the Ox. And we'll just act like lads.
Yeah. Okay, so just be a lad for... I'll give you 10 seconds to be a lad.
Oh, you're right, this is Lads Hour.
It's too long, Forget it. On this week's podcast, we also have Quiz Face for you, a very special Loughborough-based announcement, stuff about coffee, stuff about the weather, and stuff like this. Let's begin.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
We're back. I've been on holiday. Matt's been on holiday. Dave was on holiday. And we're back.
Refreshed.
Refreshed, ready to rock. And I just wanted to say a big thank you, first of all, I suppose. That's what I should do today, thank you. Yesterday, as you may know, was Father's Day. And I was overwhelmed to be woken by my son and handed this, Dave. Look at that. It's a medal. It's a badge. It's a badge, really. Three little words on it. World's greatest dad. Thank you so much. If you voted, everyone, it really means the world. I didn't even know I was nominated. I don't know how they do it. You guys must have been keeping this quiet for a while. I know everyone's like, sure, Danny, you've won this 2 years in a row. Like you didn't know. I honestly had no idea. I don't know what the system is. It's all kept very, very quiet. To win it once is absolutely amazing. Twice, unbelievable. Three times in a row,
I got one of those as well.
Yeah, because you
did. No, yesterday. Got one off little baby Bess.
It's probably yours. Yours was probably like some kind of regional award.
No,
Best newcomer, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Could have been a newcomer.
No, it said world's greatest dad.
Right.
Slightly bigger than yours as well, I think.
Bigger. It sounds vulgar. It sounds like vulgar.
Not vulgar.
Well, there must have been some sort of mistake in the...
I'm pretty sure it's voted for. It's not voted for. It's like the one that Peter Andre always wins.
Yeah, right? That's enough of what you're saying, Matt. Anyway, thank you so much if you did vote.
XFM.
Matt Dyson, describe the man to your immediate left.
Why, he's wearing a baseball cap.
He is.
He's a local lad from Barnes, turned international film star.
Yeah.
It's Robert Pattinson.
It's Robert Pattinson, everybody. Hello, Robert.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, I'm loving this reverb.
Oh,
I want to press some more buttons.
Press as many buttons as you like. Can we pitch his voice up so he's like a chipmunk? That would really undermine the heartthrob status that he's had over the years. Robert, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. It's a pleasure to see you. Well done on all your success over the past few years.
Thank you.
And looking forward, I think this is going to be a really defining moment for you, Cosmopolis.
Maybe.
Yeah? It's a difficult one for you to answer. Yeah. No, but I think there is a proud history of younger actors who, you know, have been known for doing one thing. Doing a film with a big director like Cronenberg, and it really defining kind of the rest of their career. I think it's a very exciting moment for you.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seemed like a bit of a jump, mainly because it's a very strange movie.
Yeah, I'll be honest, on paper, it sounds like one of the worst films ever made. You know, you're a billionaire who has to sit in a limousine for most of the film because you're going to get a haircut.
Yeah.
Sounds more like a 5-minute short.
It's impossible to promote as well.
How have you found it? How have you found your way through promoting this film?
How do you get past the limousine haircut element?
I'm completely lost. I just sort of say, you know, I keep trying to tell people, like, there's loads of sex in it, shooting. It's basically like Reservoir Dogs in a limousine. Just lie.
Yeah.
I mean,
Desi's got an animated sidekick, a little bird that talks to him the whole time.
It's comedy. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a first day movie. But explain, you know, so you are, your character is, robotic is the wrong word, but there's a sort of a machine-like quality to him, you know.
Dead.
Yeah, yeah. He's dead inside. There's nothing, you know, there's no sort of joy to him.
Yeah, he's sort of, he doesn't really acknowledge the reality of the world. You know, anything, even his own body, doesn't really mean anything to him. But he gets, for whatever reason, on this day where the movie's set, he suddenly gets enthusiastic looking for something.
Yeah.
And it's not really explained what it is, but it's represented by having a haircut.
Sell it, Robert, sell it. Don't say that. For goodness sakes.
There's loads of shooting and it's hilarious. There's
It is. It is the journey. It's one man's journey to get a haircut. But there's a lot more. There's a lot more to it than that. Was it intimidating going in when you're fresh to a script to meet someone like Cronenberg who has got, you know, a proper idea of what this is going to be?
No, he that was the first thing he said. I told him, because I think he's pretty used to, if you get a call from him and offering a part, I think he pretty much expects you to say yes.
It's pretty much a yes, isn't it? Yeah.
And I was reading it and I was like, God, I don't understand it. And so I kind of had to say, like, you know, I've got to think about it because I don't know how I would even approach to do it.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I don't even understand it either. So
we're really selling this film here. I mean, not a first date movie. That's what we've established here. But a great one if you want to kind of be immersed in another world.
It'd be a wonderful first date movie. Probably the best audience. You seem really smart.
Yeah, that's true. Check me out.
And just
talk about
laugh at everything. Keep laughing.
Just keep laughing.
It's just like Reservoir Dogs. Reservoir Dogs makes me show.
XFM. 50 Shades of Grey. Everyone's talking about this 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon, right? The fastest selling paperback since records began.
Yeah.
Really does seem like female erotica is on the rise. And, you know, we're not a laddie show. We want to reflect things like this. And I was thinking on the way in this morning, what if we, and go with me on this, what if we brought more female-led erotica to the show? Right.
Okay.
So I'm thinking 50 Shades of Dave. And perhaps tomorrow, Dave, you could, I mean, just write a little thing just about your day. Try and put a spin on it that maybe the ladies would enjoy.
An erotic spin?
If you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind. Some kind of erotic spin. And then tomorrow we'll kick off a whole new season, because this could be the thing that really tips us over the edge, you know?
Yeah, this is what we've needed.
We've needed more female-led erotica on the show. Everyone's been saying it for ages.
Yeah.
But 50 Shades of Dave could be the way to go.
Why me, just out of interest?
Well, your name nearly rhymes with Grey.
Right, I thought so.
Basically, that was my thinking there. XFM. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the Bigger and Better XFM Breakfast Show. I should stop saying that. It sounds like I'm on... You know what I mean? It sounds like a regional... Welcome to the Bigger and Better. You know, music mix thing. Should I stop
doing
that?
It's bigger.
Well, it's bigger, and it's nominally better, I would say. Marginally. Welcome to the marginally better XFM breakfast show.
Maybe you should start saying, now with 30 minutes extra free, or something.
Free?
Yeah.
It's free?
Yeah, it's all free. So now with...
What do you mean it's free?
No one's got to pay for the extra 30 minutes that they're now getting, because we're starting from...
What?
No. It's just, it's just more free radio.
What do you mean it's free?
Sorry, I didn't mean to. It was just an idea. It was just a little thought.
It's free?
Yeah.
This is all free?
This is... no one pays a penny.
What? This is not sustainable. This is... What are we doing?
I don't know.
Let's get the good news.
Oh. What a hug to find there.
Sorry, I thought you knew.
Oh, man.
He's dropped.
Well, look, good news, guys. It's Monday, day one. And the XFM Breakfast Show has been on for longer than ever, thanks to a new start time of 6 a.m. That's more breakfast show for your buck. But apparently, you don't actually pay for this. You don't pay for any of it. I don't know what you're on about, everybody listening. This bizarre sense of entitlement you seem to have. I mean, get off your high horse, everybody. We're just doing you a favour now, a free favour. Guilt tripping us. All, absolutely, no one mentioned this to me. Oh, we'll start at 6 a.m. Oh, that's a great idea, great idea. It's free.
Yeah.
That's your awkward good news, Matt.
Good news, guys. So following a delightful breakfast in bed yesterday, on my first ever Father's Day, when I was presented with a Best Dad in the World badge by my baby daughter.
Regional.
Danny reckons he got one as well.
Yeah.
Mine was bigger.
Mine was proper.
I thought it would be nice to have a little walk to a nature reserve right next to the Hanger Lane Gyratory.
Magical day. Magical day. No wonder you got World's Greatest Dad.
Who does that?
Let's go to Hanger Lane. Walk by a gyratory.
Well, I found out about it online. It used to be a reservoir that got drained so German bombers couldn't use it to navigate during World War II. Anyway, the walk was most pleasant until I slipped down a curb and broke one of the straps on my sandals. I had to take swift action, procuring some sellotape from a local shop to fix the broken Birkenstock by wrapping the tape round my foot several times. Although this makeshift solution managed to help me get home, I was laughed at by some small boys in the park who pointed, calling me tape foot.
Amazing.
Good news,
I suppose. Well, listen, what's your good news, everybody? You're with Muggins, His Nibs and Tapefoot on the X7 Breakfast Show.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Here's some sad news from Austria. A pair of zoo tortoises have been partners for 115 years. They've broken up. Marking the end of what could be the world's longest animal marriage, it says here. This is the story of Bibi and Poldi. You familiar with Bibi and Poldi?
No, no.
Well, they've been together forever, right? The giant tortoises. And since birth, they've been inseparable. Just recently, I think they've just got sick of each other. Yeah. You know, after 115 years. And I say that because Bibi went crazy and started attacking Poldi. So now they've gone, let's just separate these guys. And I think, come on, one argument in 115 years, and everyone's overreacting, and they're like, well, we've got to split these guys up. Put BB and Poldi. I don't know what, like, Poldi had done to incur the wrath of BB.
I suppose it's like you get to retirement stage, and you've got less on, you're hanging around the house, getting on each other's nerves. It happens.
I suppose it does. And probably it had been building up for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, those little things. Yeah, you're always, like, nibbling on the cabbage, aren't you, in that annoying way. And then one day after 115 years, BB's had enough. Yeah. Stop it!
Slow walking, catch up!
Hurry up, Poldi! I suppose as well they've got slower, haven't they, with age?
Yeah.
And BB just couldn't. Maybe BB's met a new man, like a toy boy, like a 104-year-old tortoise or something. Yeah. Anyway, that's sad news. I wonder what we could do. Helga Happ, who's the zoo boss at the Reptilian Zoo in Austria, they tried to bring in experts, you know, like relationship counsellors.
Relates have been called in.
Man, so I mean, relate, exactly. And they've had to sit opposite each other and probably talk it out.
Oh, no.
And they just can't stand the sight of each other. And Poldi's like, BB just went crazy, just attacking me. Just
brainstorming some ideas on a whiteboard, seeing if they can get some kind of resolution.
Resolution, exactly. If there's something we can do, then we really should, because this to me feels like another Yvonne the Cow story. What is it with Bavaria and sort of Germany and Austria and that kind of whole region that's kind of breeding unusual animal stories?
They're animal crackers over there.
They are bonkers. Imagine Austria's craziest animal videos. That would be amazing.
Oh, I want to see that.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Our guest this morning, he remains here, is Robert Pattinson, everybody.
Now, Robert, Cosmopolis opens 1 week today. That's fantastic. I imagine you've got your next projects all lined up.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cancel them. Cancel them now. Whatever happens, there's some people in the corner. I'm looking at them. I'm expecting them to make notes. Cancel whatever it is that Robert's doing, only for 3 or 4 months, because we have got some other projects for you in something we call Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap My Pitch Up.
So, Robert, all of these are up for grabs. They're all yours, subject to contract, of course. But you have to sign up to one of them. It could be television, could be radio, could be film, could be theatre, could be anything. So, Matt, let's start with you. What is your pitch for Robert Pattinson?
Okay, get this.
Yeah.
Our Pat's White Spats, Cow Pat, Splat Attack.
This sounds like a children's right? show.
It's similar to the Assault Course show Total Wipeout. Robert Pattinson takes on various challenges on a farmyard where he has to try and avoid getting dirt on his brand new White Spats.
Okay.
Hosted by Jeff Brazier, this promises to be fun for all the family.
Well, it's a family show, Robert. I mean, that's a nice thing.
That's not a feature film.
It's not really a three-act structure to that, is it? It's mainly Robert walking through a muddy field.
Well, that's just a nice image of you in the spats.
Well, let's just draw a picture of it and draw a line under it. My one is called Robert Pattinson's Cats in Some Hats in Sun. So, Cats in Hats, Robert, you know, always big on greetings cards, funny animal programs, YouTube as well. We all love Cats in Hats, from a Persian and a trilby to a balaclavaed kitten posing with an AK-47. There's never been a better time to be a cat in a hat. And never before has a TV show attempted to marry the twin worlds of stylish kitties and British star power. This is 90 minutes long. Robert Pattinson's Cats in Some Hats in Sun sees our Pat's cats doing what they do best, each lingering black and white shot accompanied by one-word descriptions delivered enigmatically by Robert Pattinson. Beret, deer stalker, beef eater. Top cats in top hats with our pets. Meow's the time. Are you in?
That is what I like about the whole thing.
Okay, this sounds like a no already.
Is that they're all reality TV shows. Yeah. Really shows that I like, because I saw that Britain's Got Talent thing. There's like 56 million people in Britain. Yeah. Would have been a dog win.
Yeah, I know. Although it was a dog, to be fair, that could lie on its owner's back. That's the best we can do in this country at the moment. We're looking for a new hero. Yeah,
if it's a reality show, definitely.
He's in, everybody.
Hey, Aung San Suu Kyi, I mean, she's getting an honorary doctorate today from Oxford.
Yeah.
Honorary doctorate. She got the Nobel Peace Prize the other day, didn't she? She is clearing up on the award circuit.
She is.
This is her year, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
she's very, very good. I looked at her CV, very, very quiet for sort of 20 years or so. And now, it's like, it's all about her.
She's like a sleeper hit. She's really swept the board.
Yeah, totally. So if you're nominated currently for an award, maybe at work, something like that, forget it. Forget it. Aung San is definitely going to get it. She's getting Specsavers Celebrity.
Yeah, yeah.
Spectacle Wear of the Year, I think.
Rear of the Year. She's up for that.
She's getting one of those free Nando's cards.
Yeah.
It's all happening. This is your time to shine. It's great. It's good, that. Hey, and Kim Kardashian. Big headline here. Kim Kardashian is to blame for the end of civilization. Now, this is according to a top... I mean, it's a bold claim, isn't it?
Yeah.
A top headmistress says that she has found the reason for the decline of Western civilization, and it is Kim Kardashian.
Whoa.
And she says, this lady, Dr. Helen Wright, she claims that Kim sums up everything that is wrong with the world. Poor Kim. I mean, I don't, you know... Well, I don't watch the show. I don't really know much.
No, I don't, but it's not, I don't think it's her fault.
It's not her fault, is it? She didn't ask.
She just sort of epitomises what's wrong.
Also, right. You're backing her up.
What?
You're straight in there with Dr. Helen Wright.
Yeah, I am.
You just said Kim Kardashian epitomises all that is wrong with society.
I think I understand what she means.
I see what she means. You're bringing it down.
I think that people on The Only Way Is Essex, they do that for us here in the UK, that Mark Wright character. I don't know what he is. But he's got a new show where he just goes to Hollywood with his mates.
Yes.
And people watch that.
They do.
And they pretend to act out scenes that are real life. It's beyond...
It is. It's all stuff like, oh, well, you've got a big mansion in Beverly Hills, and they turn up and it's like a one-bedroom flat.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I can't believe that's happened.
If ever there was a show that needs a slide trombone,
it would be
anything featuring Mark Wright. In fact, we should get a clip. Let's get some clips of that show. And let's add slide trombones. And let's see if it still works. Because it could be something we bring back from the 70s to whatever we call this period. What do we call this? The teenies.
Yeah, the teenies.
I guess it's the teenies.
They had the noughties. So
what do they call it in 1919? What do they call it then?
I don't know. Good question.
All good questions here on the XFM Breakfast Show. We covered everything there, didn't we? Aung San Suu Kyi, Kim Kardashian, Mark Wright, and what this decade is.
This is why they gave us an extra half hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just fill it up. Just say some things. Just say whatever's in your head. I just got back from holiday. It's very nice. Excuse to play this.
Yeah.
Just got back from holiday. Had a great time, man.
Lovely.
Great time. I feel relaxed. I feel refreshed. And you'll never guess what happened to me on holiday. I was sitting in the sort of the breakfast area. And I saw a man, right? I saw a man. He was running with a phone. And I thought, that man looks just like
a celebrity, right? And I thought nothing more of it, right? And I had my breakfast. And I walked towards the lifts. And coming towards me was that man again, who I'd written off as some kind of German tourist who looked a bit like this man. And yet, it was that man. And we were like, hey, how's it going? And then we did the whole sort of chat, and it was great. And then I started spying on him, right? Because like everyone else these days, I keep an extensive audio diary of my holidays. Yeah. It's just another way of relaxing in this day and age, is what I find. Right. Do you do that as well?
No.
Well, you know, I think most people do. Most people do. So I thought it'd be fun to play something that Dave named Hula Day. So when I was spying on this man, I recorded various clues. Here's clue one.
Day two, bumped into him by the pool. His trademark moustache, less pronounced as it blends into 3 days of relaxed beard growth. His mane of blonde to strawberry blonde hair, tied back into a short ponytail. His fair skin inflamed by the rigours of the harsh morning sun. We had some beers and talked of his vomiting infant, of films, and of Kelly Brook. He was wearing little red shorts. More soon.
Okay, so there you go. Little red shorts. A mane of hair swept back into a little ponytail. So let's have another clue.
Day four, conversation by the breakfast buffet. I was shocked by his choices. In that lovable northern twang, he announced baked beans and hot dogs. He also had a coffee, ignoring any and all citrus juice. I left him to it.
Plenty of guesses. A disparate bunch. Samantha says... Justin Lee Collins. It's a popular one today. Paul thought it might be Noel Edmonds. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Just me and Noel Edmonds hanging out in a couple of sun lounges, sinking beers.
You've got a dream.
You've got a dream. John says Newton Faulkner, you know, going for, the longer strawberry blonde. Layla, also on that tip, says Damian Lewis. Was it Damian Lewis? Ooh. Nat says, was it Chris Evans? That's good, they don't listen to other stations. Roxy says, was it John Craven? I don't understand that one. Nor do I understand Bobby's guess of Arthur Scargill. Sarah says, was it Billy Connolly? You know? I guess, you know, there is the sort of the moustache thing and then the longer hair. Do you have any ideas yet, Steve? Just shout out if you do, you know.
I can't think of any people with long hair. Who's the guy from the dark?
You think Justin Hawkins?
Oh, that's him, isn't
it? Yeah, famous strawberry blonde singer of the darkness.
Oh, no.
Not many male bands like that or whatever. My son started hanging out with him so much that I was a bit concerned because he started picking up on the way he talked.
It's a round, yeah. Fruit, me, a yeah. Fruit, no.
So can that be? Confirmed listener. Lolly, what is your guess?
Would it be Keith Lemon?
You're saying, would it be Keith Lemon, a.k.a. Lee Francis, a.k.a. a man I initially mistook for a German tourist. Yes!
Hooray! We are XFM.
So on the way home yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, I was reading the papers, and a little look online, stuff like that. And it said it's going to be, you know, the summer is, even though it's the first day of summer, it's going to be heavy rain and thunder, things like that. And I was like, well, we need to reflect this on the important broadcast, don't we? We need to reflect this. Why's Matt looking so dejected? Anyway, so I just, very sheepish, isn't he? So I sent an email very quickly to Dave and Matt going, look, it could be really heavy rain tonight, which maybe talk about it on the radio tomorrow, get something prepared. Maybe, I was thinking, there's some kind of montage we could do of kind of summery tracks, right? Because it's still summer, intercut with that whole Radiohead, you know, rain down, and it would just make us go hooray and make us sad at the same time. And I thought it was a good idea, you know.
Yeah, it was a good idea,
wasn't it?
Brilliant idea.
So I sent it. To be honest, I sent it mainly for Dave's attention. But out of courtesy, I CC'd Matt in, right? And I didn't get a reply immediately from Dave. He's a very busy man. Matt's got a lot of time in his hands. immediately, I got one back from Matt. Just pretty much just going, yeah, but it's not going to be heavy rain. There may be some light rain tomorrow. And then he said, and I quote, I don't know where you get your information from, Dandy Dan. Now, that's passive aggressive. He's using a nickname to temper the passive aggression, isn't he? A nickname, by the way, he's never used before.
He's not. I thought of that. I thought that was a weird nickname to
Dandy
use.
Dan come
I'm
from?
I'm just trying to bring it in.
You're not to speak. So anyway, so I'm reading it. I'm going, Dandy Dan? Really? Wow, that's unusual. So anyway, I found my sources, which were, reputable.
It was the Mail online.
That's the Mail
main,
online.
That's right. Your main source, which I was right to question.
Well, the Mail, so I got it off the Mail. So I gave him the source, and he just wrote back, and here's the quote. He just says, oh, yeah, we all base our lives around what it says in the Mail, right? So I was like, all right, fine, cancel the content. The passive-aggressive weatherman has spoken. And then I was thinking about it. I looked out the window, and I was like, remember when he said it was going to be hotter than Ibiza? And I bought all those barbecue, like, condiments that I've never used.
Yeah.
They're all still in my fridge for this Ibizan barbecue that never happened because it was heavy rain. Can you just spool to your weather report that you just did, sort of 10 minutes ago?
Yeah,
just give me the last line,
heavy
please.
Heavy thundery rain. Yeah, I know, but at the time, the meteorology sources that I use...
Yeah, the window.
...were suggesting that the rain would come slightly later. No, because actually, I've just checked this morning...
You can't be right. Look at the facts out there.
I've just checked this morning, and the temperature advection at 500 hectare-pascals tells me that more heavy rain clouds are forming, so...
He's got no idea what that means.
That's me.
The only bit he needs is the bit going heavy clouds forming. but you questioning my sources. Look out the window. Think about what you just said. The mail with the weather. I mean, it may, you know, that we may question their opinions on many things, but the weather is kind of, you know, we're going, you know, I think they've been proven right.
You were predicting massive floods.
So anyway, have we got that content?
Well,
oh, no, we don't have it.
I didn't make it.
We don't have it because Dyson said no.
Yeah.
Dyson poo-pooed the idea. So basically, I'm going to run every idea past you to see if it's all right to do this morning. Goodness me. He's the Michael Fish of XFM. We are XFM. It's an exciting time in the studio. Well, that was him giggling.
Yeah.
It's like a tease. It's Andrew Garfield's here! Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
How are you?
You know, very, very well.
I'm pleased you're very, very well.
How are you?
Also very well, thank you. Very polite young man, aren't you?
Well.
Very well brought up. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you. So excited, in fact, that we've got a gift for you.
No.
Yes.
You should.
Who are you getting behind in the Euros?
It's either going to be England or the Ukraine. I haven't quite decided yet.
Just say that again, but just snip off the last bit.
Okay, England or the UK.
Okay, yeah, or the United Kingdom he's going for there. We've got this for you. It's an England shirt, an official England shirt, but check out
the
back.
No!
Oh, what's on the back?
You are joking!
What's on the back?
It's the name of a very famous cat.
He's got his own England shirt.
Unbelievable! Are you serious?
Yeah, it's yours, all yours, all thanks to the people.
Oh, my God!
Isn't that nice?
That is extremely nice, if you don't say so yourself. That is so, so nice. Honestly, thank you so much.
Not at all, you can wear that at your leisure.
That's so lovely, and just because you saved that for on air, I'm going to save this for on air. XFM is my favourite radio station.
And he's not just saying that to be nice; he was saying that off air as well. So that's great.
That's absolutely right. This is really moving, and I'm it's really something.
Okay,
thank you.
Drop the music. Why don't you just do a quick acceptance speech?
You know what? It's been a long time coming, and I'm thankful that you finally recognised. You know, they're telling me to wrap it up, so I'm just going to quickly thank my agent, who's kind of pushed me into things that I don't really want to do, but it's made me some money.
If you can, try and cry a little.
Oh, I can pretend.
It's called acting, Andrew. You'll pick this up in your career. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Exciting times, Andrew. Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man, the amazing Spider-Man.
It
is the movie.
That I am in.
Just imagine, right? Imagine being in Andrew Garfield's shoes. You are Spider-Man. What was the moment like where you realised that you were going to be Spider-Man?
It's impossible to talk about that.
I will.
And to sum it up into a soundbite, but, you know, name an emotion and I felt it. But the first split second was very pure and was very exciting, and it was like 25 years I've been waiting for that phone call. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's going on with Brits and superheroes at the moment? I mean, there's you were born in LA, weren't you?
But you
consider yourself British.
Yeah, my mum's, from England, and we've lived here all my life. So, absolutely.
Yeah, through and through. So, I mean, you know, Spider-Man is now British. Mm-hmm. Superman?
Yes,
he's British. Henry Cavill?
Batman?
Christian Bale is Batman?
Yeah.
What is it about? What is it about us that is so super?
I don't know. I honestly haven't got the answer to that. But I, you know, isn't Christian Bale a great actor?
Yeah.
You know absolutely. What I mean? I don't know much about Superman, but I hear he's fantastic as well. I don't know. It's just a lovely thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a lovely. Well, he's fantastic, but you're amazing. The amazing Spider-Man. Tell me about the film. I mean, it's kind of a grittier version than we're used to.
It's more grounded in reality. I think Mark Webb, the director, his first intention was let's make this as genuine and real as possible.
Yeah.
And I think we all just kind of followed suit with that. And, you know, there are nice, fun, like, expansive sequences and fantastic action sequences. And
the graphics, I mean, I don't know, do you call it graphics? I mean, you know, the kind of the non-real stuff.
Effects,
you know,
special effects.
Special effects, CGI, that's another phrase for it. I've heard that phrase.
It's not the 80s, Dan.
The graphics.
The cartoon bits.
They use plasticine.
Stop motion.
RR, absolutely extraordinary. Just amazing. And you're in it, Recife fans, Dennis Sleary, Emma Stone.
She's in the building somewhere now, I think.
What? Oh, we get lumbered with Garfield?
I know, right? Outrageous.
What the heck's going on here?
I'm disappointed for you too.
No, it's fantastic. So, I mean, what was it like working with those guys? Had you met any of those people before?
No, I hadn't actually. But, you know, you also got Martin Sheen and Sally Field.
Yeah, legends.
And you think about, you know, Badlands and Mrs. Doubtfire and, you know, both very similar movies.
Yeah, I go for Badlands first over Mrs. Doubtfire. Right.
But no, it's just an incredible group of people. And like, you know, it's very rare to meet people who are not only incredibly talented in this industry, but also nice.
Yeah.
That's a difficult thing to achieve, a difficult balance to find.
Have you met any real idiots?
You know, define idiot. You mean like you know, just difficult people to be around?
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. The majority. Yeah. No. There are some difficult, you know, actors get a bad rap, I think, because of a very few people who ask for too much or kind of get greedy or start to, you know, don't think they're responsible for it. We're getting a little bit earnest and deep.
Oh, I don't mind. Yeah, play that music again.
No, please don't.
We will take names off air, and we won't. We won't do that at all.
XFM.
It's a sinister world at the moment. I'll tell you that. Very sinister. There's a story here I found. A great website called Boing Boing. There's fascinating stuff on there. And it says that the Canadian Border Agency, right, they want to cover all of Canada's airports with what they call a little spy ears. Right, little spy ears. And they can listen in on and record conversations from a distance, right? And apparently they've already done it for some airports in Canada. But they're not saying which ones, right? Ooh. So they'll be able to, like, see some people over there and just go, turn on, like, 300 and have a little listen to what you're saying. They can eavesdrop. Although they have said they won't turn them on without what they're calling a privacy impact assessment, which I imagine the assessment will go like, will turning on this microphone to listen to this private conversation impact their privacy? Yes. Yes. Yes, it will. I mean, it's a radical thing. I mean, why won't people just agree, well, we won't have any sinister conversations in the airport? You know, it seems like...
Just write it down.
Just write it down. But it just seems like this is happening more and more and more. I'm actually in a bit of a pickle at the moment. Because yesterday afternoon, I saw someone here at Global Radio spill a little bit of coffee from their cup as they rushed to a meeting right now. Thank you. They deserve that. Now, this person, right, I'm not going to reveal who it is, but they are extremely hardworking. They're stressed. I think they were going to a meeting that they had called off their own back to further the cause of Global Radio, you know. But doesn't take away from the fact that they did spill a bit of coffee. And I'm back from holiday, and I've been checking up on my work emails, right? And there was that email recently. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Sent to everyone in the building from... I think it's the Ministry of Internal Cleanliness that says, rightly, spilling coffee on the carpet is totally preventable. But then, this is the sinister bit, it urges us to own up if we do it, right? Not clean up, own up. Now, why is my first question? What are they after? What good will come of owning up? You know, why dwell on it? Why not just move on? What will happen when you own up? It's very sinister, right? But here's the thing, the email also implies, and it's just, it's an implication, but it's there, that we should report anyone we see spilling coffee so they can be dealt with, okay? That's the clear and present implication. They want us to report on our neighbours and our colleagues. This is like the Staatssicherheitspolizei, you know? From the Eastern Bloc, from sort of communist East Germany, you know? And it goes on to say, if you do not own up to the spillage, they will, and this is a direct quote, take to the cameras. So someone's job here is going to be walking around looking for minor to average to major carpet stains and then spooling through hours of CCTV footage to find out which worker ant stroke drone has spilled a bit of coffee, right? That's a job now.
This is apparently really is a job.
Even the Stasi didn't have the manpower for that. I don't know. And here's the thing. This is the bit that gets me. The email goes on to say that if we report people, they could then be charged £5 for each spill. They've taken our £5 flat fee fine system. Yeah. It's been corrupted by the state.
Oh, no.
I mean, why now? Why now? Even Aung San Suu Kyi's out now. There's no way to celebrate her release. Now, I've tried to talk to people about this quietly in the Global Radio Exercise Yard. But I'm paranoid about it, you know? I just think, what if they're trying to keep us docile and compliant? Probably by drugging the coffee granules that they pipe every morning into our troughs. Which, ironically, because we're in a woozy, sort of dreamlike, compliant state, probably leads us to spilling the coffee as we then trudge to our desks, you know? The desks, which, by the way, must be kept clear of any sign of personality. In case one of us disappears in the night. That's what's happening there. So I don't know what to do. Do I do this? Do I report the guy?
Wow, I just hadn't thought so much about this.
It's time to clear your desk, Matt. XFM. Hey, police officers stormed into a village pub. Right? A village pub. They stormed in. Because there's an advert outside. They're advertising their live music, okay? And it said, live music from 4 a.m, okay? And the police are like, this is illegal.
Yeah.
From 4 a.m? This is this village pub think they are. They've not got a license for this. So they storm in. Two police officers, two licensing officers. So they have to call the licensing officers and go, we've got a situation. We've got a situation here. And we need you there as well, okay? We can't just go in and have a chat.
Yeah.
We need to storm this place. So it's the Feathers in Laleham in Surrey. And they wanted to stop the performance. But the licensee told them that 4 a.m. was, of course, the name of the band. So it was live music from 4 a.m. And that they would, of course, be playing within normal legal hours. And she said, if one official turns up, that's funny enough, if four people come into the pub like they did, storming, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. She says when she calmed down, she thought it was hilarious. She says, they made idiots of themselves, really. And, I mean, that's quite embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an operation. When you've got four people, that's an operation. Yeah. It goes from something to that. So these poor policemen, I guess, had to do a massive climb down.
Yeah.
A bit like your climb down this morning, Matt, when we exchanged emails because I had an idea for a feature we could do today thanks to the heavy rain, and Matt was like, no. It's not going to be heavy rain. And then I listened to the report. I was so happy waking up this morning to hear heavy rain. I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. So you had to do a bit of a climb down, didn't you, this morning?
Well, I just thought the heavy rain was coming later today.
It so you're just thinking it. We want facts. We want things based on facts.
My meteorological studies predicted it would come later.
None. What are your qualifications?
I don't want to go into them.
What did you study at university?
I get embarrassed to talk about all the letters before my name.
Is that before? Generally, they go after.
After, yeah.
Are you talking about MR, as in Mr. Matt Dyson? Do you think that's a qualification? Have you been wandering around the streets just going, check me out, ladies and gents. I'm a mister. Oh, my goodness me. What a climb, though. What a climb. Embarrassing. And the thing about Matt is, he's being very jolly about it on air, but off air, like a ball of knotted fury. It's like he's got a snooker ball of rage within him, because I was right about the weather, and he, true to form, was wrong.
We are XFM.
I'm joined by by Andrew Garfield. Hello. Here he is. Wow, Andrew. I mean, like I say, exciting times, amazing Spider-Man. Mm. The premiere is tonight at Leicester
Square. Tonight, yes.
Why'd you stay in the studio and just watch people arriving? Yeah. Watch you walking down the red carpet.
I'd like to do that as well.
You can swing by. I'll be fine. We'll just have a coffee and watch. It's out on 3rd July. Fantastic, yes. Fantastic film. Best of luck with it.
Thank you.
What are you doing straight after? It sounds like I was going to ask you out. We're doing after show.
Where?
What are you doing after Spider-Man? After the Amazing Spider-Man?
tonight, actually, you know what?
We're not career-wise.
Oh, generally speaking?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it would be rude of me to do anything else after
that. He's no plans, no. It's all gone wrong.
It would be greedy.
Well, let's rescue your career, your flailing career.
Please, I need you.
By playing something we call Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap My Pitch Up.
God, I get anxious at games.
Do not be anxious.
I'm very competitive.
All you've got to do is agree to one of these many projects that we have carefully and considerately thought out for you, you know, off the back of the undoubted success that The Amazing Spider-Man will be.
It's touch some wood, touch some wood.
There's some wood there.
There's some fake wood.
So it's important for you to make the right choice next.
Yes. Okay?
The right choice.
You're absolutely right.
Probably do some indie films after that, it's fine, but the next one is crucial.
Absolutely,
okay?
Yeah.
So, Dave, what is your pitch for Andrew Garfield?
Garfield, yep. Tar Shields.
Oof.
Andrew travels around various ancient battlegrounds assessing what type of fight occurred here.
Ooh, nice.
With this knowledge, he then concludes as to whether shields made of tar would have benefited either side. Factors to be taken into account maybe include the size of the hills, the temperature of the sun, and the strength of the horses.
There you go. It's got everything there, hasn't it? There's an equine element. There's probably hillocks involved. That's always good. Mm-hmm. Are you in? Is it a TV series, Dave?
I think it's a six-part documentary, maybe. Maybe on the History Channel.
Wow. Six-part History Channel doc.
I think I'm going to pass.
The arrogance. The arrogance of the man is unbelievable. Matt, what's your pitch?
Okay, Andrew Garfield's Never Let Me Go Anywhere. It's a spin-off from the sci-fi drama Never Let Me Go, sort of mash-up hybrid show where it meets Dog the Bounty Hunter. Andrew travels around England. We'll start there. We could sell globally if it takes off. Goes from town to town, making sure criminals who are on house arrest and tagged with strict curfews don't try and leave their homes. We're hoping Carey Mulligan will be involved, commentating on the whereabouts of the criminals in the house. As they go to different exits, you have to run around the house to block their path.
God, that sounds terrific. It's a hybrid. Hybrids are very in right now. What do you...
I think hybrids are in.
They are.
Can I pause on that? Can I have some time to consider that one?
Yeah, fine, sure.
Thank you for the offer.
That's a maybe. That's a maybe. My pitch. Andrew Garfield. Go sow the far field. Crop rotation. Why is no one talking about crop rotation? Well, the practice of growing a series of dissimilar crop types in the same area in sequential seasons is back with a bang. And it's all thanks to Andrew Garfield. Filmed over a period of many, many years, this landmark land series sees Farmer Garfield improving soil structure and fertility by alternating deep-rooted and shallow-rooted plants. Filmed in real time and broadcast live on the red button, a panel of expert farming judges, including Chris Packham, Justin Lee Collins, and Brian Harvey's ex-girlfriend, Emma B, then vote to decide which field is left fallow.
Oh,
Andrew Garfield's Go Sow the Far Field, are you in?
I can't say no to that.
He's in it! Boom, there you go. All right, we start tomorrow. Get yourself ready.
XFL.
Vending machines. We all love vending machines. But here's a vending machine. If you're a bit peckish and you've got 3 minutes to spare, it'll make you a pizza.
Right.
A fresh pizza. Exactly. Look at Matt's eyes light up there.
Wow, I've had a kebab from a vending machine before.
Whoa, hang on a second. Wait. What do you mean you've had a kebab from a vending machine?
Well, they were ready-made and popped in this like vending machine.
You bought a kebab?
It was disgusting.
No way.
Yeah.
you bought a kebab from a vending machine. Yeah. How hungry were you?
Very. And it was the early hours of the morning, and it just thought, novelty factor, you know.
Were they rotating?
No, they were just sort of sat there, like in a warmed compartment, ready-made.
I wonder how long it had been there for.
I know, I
just could have been days.
Not only from when they shut the kebab shop, they put the leftover bits in there.
Leftover kebabs from a machine in the early hours of the morning. Just sort of sweaty.
It repeated on me the next day.
I'm not surprised. Why have you never mentioned this before? This is extraordinary.
It just came to me then.
Well, kebab, that seems to be something we'll put on the back burner, the kebab industry idea. Yeah. But I think we should definitely invest in this.
Pizza sounds good, though.
Well, it's great. You press the button when you start kind of designing your pizza, and it already starts making the dough, right? Starts making the dough straight away, so the dough is fresh. And then you just click what you want on it, and it just pours it out of some bucket onto your pizza, heats it up, Pops it out on a little tray for you.
Wow.
It's great. You want to invest?
Yes.
Amazing. We should do this. Just a restaurant of vending machines.
Yeah.
Kebabs, pizzas, warmed curries. You buy curries from a newsagent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like to buy food from different places.
Also, I mean, if it's a vending machine...
I like to
machine,
buy food from different places. If it's a vending machine, you don't have to tip because it's just a machine.
You'd be amazing on a first date. I wish that we could say, you know, I wish that I'd met Matt before he was engaged and we could have just mic'd him up with little secret mics and sent him on speed dating. Just to hear phrases like, I like buying food from different places. Always good. XFM. The books of E.L. James, you know, 50 Shades of this, 50 Shades of that, 50 Shades of Grey, have become the most successful paperbacks of all time since records began. And E.L. James, on her website here, just three words: romance, suspense, erotica. Now, those are three things I think we've been lacking.
That's
guys.
The secret,
you know?
Yeah.
Certainly, there was more romance on the show.
Yeah.
More suspense would be terrific, wouldn't it?
Sure.
You know, that's great. And, of course, more erotica. So that's what I commissioned yesterday. I said, look, guys, this is what everyone's talking about. This is what women want at the moment. Everyone's talking about 50 Shades of Grey. We need more erotica, more early morning erotica. So I commissioned a short piece called 50 Shades of Dave, which I thought works on all levels, you know, because... it rhymes with grey. So I said to Dave, let's have a look at your life, you know, and let's just use more romance, more suspense, and a lot more erotica. Here is 50 Shades of Dave.
I returned from the corner shop and immediately took my top off.
Yeah, straight away.
Then I slammed the door manfully. I was sweating lightly. Eyes of 18 today. But I still wasn't satisfied. So I opened the airing cupboard. Slowly, I unwrapped the Cornetto I had bought, as if I were undressing a lady.
Hello.
Carefully unbuttoning her parka and taking her scarf and gesturing to the futon I bought from IKEA Wembley Park on a whim. It's just you and me now, I said. Sexily, the phone went off. This is Dave, I said. And then I answered it. This is Dave, I said. This is Mrs. Jones from the corner shop.
Oh.
Heard a voice.
Oh.
I recognized it immediately as Mrs. Jones from the corner shop. She kept cats and you could always hear them purring. You owe me 50p for that cornetto, she said. I put my top on and went back to give Mrs. Jones exactly what she wanted. The recommended retail price of all's cornetto.
Oh, 50 Shades of Dave, everybody. Man, let's just give everyone a moment to just calm down. XFM. Boris Johnson, Mayor Boris, he's been in the US lately. And guess where he popped up? We you know, ordinarily he'll pop up on, say, London Tonight or something, bumbling about, falling over maybe. He was on The Late Show with David Letterman.
Oh, no.
Yes, he was. Let's have a clip.
And how long have you been cutting your own hair? I just wanted...
I think that was a low blow.
Yours is true. I thought I was beginning to think I'd got through this more or less unscathed.
Yeah, you know. Great, so now America knows about Boris.
Oh.
We thought we kept it quite quiet. We were just thinking, we'll just unveil him at the Olympics. Just keep him off to one side, something like that. He'll get tangled up. Do you remember when the Olympics, when London got it, and he went over to Shanghai to kind of accept the baton, if you will.
Yeah.
And all the kind of the dignitaries around. And there was Boris just getting tangled up in a Union Jack.
Yeah.
Like, there was no wind. I don't know how he managed it, but he did that. So now America knows about him. It's not just Boris has been on... quite highbrow shows. I was on a show hosted by Richard Madeley the other day.
So I heard.
And it turns out Richard had been tipped off about some of the things that we do on the XFM Breakfast Show.
Is it true you ban the listeners from listening for 5 minutes extra sort of sentences?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it needs to be done. You know, otherwise they won't learn otherwise.
How does that work?
Well, if they say something, perhaps a mild criticism or they go against kind of the rules of the show, there's a 5 minute listener ban. It's kind of a trust system as well. So we play the ban. And then I say, you know, if it's at 9:18, I'll go, all right, Jack, we'll see you back here at 9:23.
And not a moment before.
Yeah. So Madeley's on board.
Madeley likes it.
Totally, totally on board. And it is, you know, I was saying to Marty, it is the only way they will learn. We are... You should know the rules by now, Mark, so let's get quizzical.
Quiz face.
Okay, so Mark... As usual, there are 9 possible answers. 5 of which are wrong, 3 of which start with a vowel, and only 1 of which is in German. Matt, the German word today is...
Zeitgeist.
Okay.
Meaning spirit of the times.
Might want to make a note of that, Mark. Let's, first of all, though, choose a vowel, please, Mark.
Vowel A.
We've gone for A. And the 3 answers... that begin with or feature the vowel A this week are as follows. And again, if you're making notes, first one is apple. Second is elephant. And the third is the word underlay.
Underlay.
So, that just leaves us with the 5 wrong answers. Matt, take us through the 5 wrong answers quickly.
They are throttle,
pipsqueak,
ninny hammer, to jettison a passenger at great speed,
okay,
and a tinker sitting cross-legged on the floor stroking an old man's shiny toe.
Okay, well, that's great. So, Mark, if you've made your notes, you should know where you are. Choose a number, please, between 1 and 9.
2.
2. Good. You got it. You got it. You know what you're doing.
Excellent.
So as always then, Mark, let's just quickly activate the answer cat. Let's very carefully remove that answer. It was 2, Matt, from the answer cat. Remember, the answer cat could buck at any time, spilling all the other answers onto the floor, so do be careful. Let's start the timer.
Okay. I'm removing pipsqueak from the answer cat.
Okay. Great, good. And the answer cat remains in its slumber there, Mark. There was no bucking, so 2, that's pipsqueak, has gone. Another number, please, Mark.
5.
5. Let's see. Yeah. Good. Okay, nice one. Good strategy. What's your strategy at this stage?
I don't know. I'm just listening to you, I'm guessing.
So, Matt, it's 5.
Matt!
Yeah. You're Mark, but I'm asking Matt here. So you've put pipsqueak to one side, haven't you? That's 2. Yeah. Let's remove answer 5 from the answer cat. Careful, though, Matt. It's a very light sleeper, the answer cat that we have today. Very heavily medicated it.
Okay. Removing the tinker now.
And the old man's toe, remove that with it.
Yeah, both the tinker and the toe, that's right.
So, Mark, Matt's removing the tinker, stroking the toe. The answer cat is still asleep, and this is weird. I was expecting it to buck by now. It's very unusual, Mark. Are you happy with pipsqueak and the tinker?
All right.
Do you want to go one further, though?
Why not?
Okay, this is unprecedented. It actually means we have to wake the answer cat. Matt, can you just wake the answer cat while I run through the available answers? Mark, you've still got throttle, ninny hammer, apple underlay. Are you waking the cat?
I'm trying to. Come on.
Come on, kitty.
You also, Mark, still have to jettison the passenger at great speed. Pipsqueak and the tinker sitting cross-legged have gone. Are you waking it or what?
Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to wake it.
Can we stop the drone? Are you...
Come on, kitty.
I'm serious.
He's not responding.
Try poking him.
I keep poking him. I've even tried twisting his ears.
Flick his nose. Flick...
No, nothing.
How much did you medicate the answer cat, Steve?
What, Steve medicated him too?
What do you mean too? Steve was going to medicate the cat.
Nothing. I didn't medicate him.
Did you over-medicate the answer cat?
Steve shouldn't have been medicating the answer
cat. Did you... It's not his place to... Did you over-medicate the answer cat? Flick his nose.
Oh, God.
Come on. Oh, God. Mark, to complete the quiz and win the prize, complete the sentence. We are...
XFM.
Hey! He did it. You pulled it out the bag. Can you just flick the answer cat? Just one. I think we're going to have to deal with this. Mark, can you stay on the line? We've got something to deal with here. Just a little... A small issue. Just try tugging the tail. Just try tugging the tail.
Too late.
We are... XFM.
Chinese farmer caused traffic chaos when he attempted to herd. How many ducks do you think he attempted to herd through a town? If you're a Chinese farmer and you've got some ducks and you're like, I've got to herd these ducks, you know, I would probably take it in stages.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably take, say, 20% of the ducks the first day,
yeah.
20% the second day. This guy, he's gone, I've got all these ducks, I want to herd them, and I'm going to do it all now. How many do you think?
50?
5,000.
Oh, no.
A Chinese farmer caused traffic chaos when he attempted to herd 5,000 ducks through a town. People just standing there watching in amazement as the man and he had a few helpers. They're just herding all these ducks through this city in East China's Zhejiang province. And traffic ground to a halt as the massive feathered animals were driven a kilometre. So, you know, so he's just behind them, just going, right, it's that way, everyone. Yeah. Stay in line. I wonder if there was a single file that would take forever.
Yeah, he must have lost loads of them. Stray ones wandering off down alleyways.
Well, that's what you'd think, Matt, but he would sue you for saying that. Because according to the farmer, he does this regularly. It's weird it's never been reported before. You'd think someone would have spotted it. Why has it just come to the fore now? And he says, despite the large numbers involved, he's never lost a duck.
Why never?
So how does he know exactly? I mean, you can't count them all every night and go, right, the 4,098, 4,098, 5,000, got them all. I mean, they look pretty similar ducks, don't they?
Yeah. Are they tagged? Electronically tagged?
That would take forever as well. I'm not sure he's gone to that kind of, that level of detail. Maybe he dresses them all in a different sort of period costume. And as they wander through, it's like watching... the evolution of man, in a sense, you know. Yeah. Now it's an hour. We should be reaching the Elizabethan duck period. Yeah, that's there. We're there. Now we're into the 80s. Yeah,
check probably out, what he does.
Check out the doodly boppers on that one. That's a weird phrase, isn't it? It sounded a bit dirty, didn't it? I was talking about a duck.
He's talking about a duck dressed up in an 80s outfit.
That's what I'm talking about, everybody. We are
XFM
Quiz Face.
I'm confirmed, listener Mark. I'm partially responsible for the over-medication of the answer cat, ultimately leading to its untimely death live on the radio. I cannot say much more for legal reasons. Any further statements will be made through my lawyer. Thank you, XFM. Thank you, Danny Wallace. Screw you, answer cat.
XFM.
Shall we get the good news where the people are? And they're everywhere. They walk amongst us. But good news from north, east, south and west, all over the country. Matt, hit me with some listener good news.
Good news, guys. I'm pleased to say that after much analysing, I now realise it is not you, Mr. Danny Wallace, appearing as a spoon, the one with square-framed glasses, on the new Ambrosia ad.
I see.
from Duncan. If you watch it, you will understand what Duncan's talking about.
Sort of like a spoon with glasses. It's the curse of any man who wears glasses. You're instantly compared to any other man who wears glasses. And not just men, cutlery.
Yeah.
Seems to be what's happening here. And let's cross live now for some live good news from regular, confirmed, consistent listener, George the Master Plumber. George, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, good George.
News, guys.
Yep.
Amir has finally got his own van, has been let loose all on his own in Croydon today.
Oh, wow. So this is your apprentice, Amir, who's finally been given his own van and his own jobs, George.
That's it. He's out there.
Oh, man, that's great news, George. But also, it's news that's tinged with... Well, sadness, I suppose, isn't it, George? Because...
It is, yeah.
I mean, you guys, you've... You're having such fun together, aren't you? And
yeah.
You've raised that kid, haven't you, in many ways? Taught him everything you know. The vast experience of your knowledge, your plumbing knowledge. Oh, has it stopped? It's back now. But, George, if you love someone, you got to set them free, haven't you?
You have, Danny.
You've done what you can with them, Ian. It's got to let him go. So, George, are you in your van now?
I am. I'm sitting in my van in the middle of Dulwich.
Still on your own?
No. And all lonesome.
Just look down to where Amir usually sits, the seat next to you. What's there? Is there anything there?
Paperwork, Danny.
Just paperwork. He's just left the paperwork behind, hasn't he?
Painful.
Well, just bring that up again now, Dave. George, this is what you have to do, because you have to cleanse yourself of this. Just wind your window down.
No worries.
And I want you almost like a primal scream, just a scream of rage and emotion. I just want you right now on Dulwich High Street, just to shout, Amir, I set you free. Amir, I free thee. Go on, George.
Ready?
Yep.
All right, hang on then. Amir, I set you free. I free thee.
He frees thee. George, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. He'll be back soon. Oh. And there'll probably be some complaints about whatever he's done today.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM. Weather.
Here we go. Just give it your best shot.
After all the mocking,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to bother anymore.
Okay. Okay.
Look it up yourself on the app on your smartphone.
Okay.
Unless you want to do it, Danny, tell us what you know.
Yeah. Okay. Heavy rain.
What's the high then? What's the high, Danny? Do you know the high?
No one needs to know the high. What do you need to know the high? Huh? 23 or 21,
him.
I think.
Don't help him, baby.
No one needs to know the high, do they? No one's sitting there going, I wonder what the peak temperature is going to be a bit later on.
At some
indeterminate time.
It tells them how
you're not saying when the high is going to be. You're just saying at some point it may be a certain temperature.
Yeah, that gives you a good idea of how hot it's going to be.
All right, go on then.
No, I'm not doing it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're not doing it. He's taking his headphones off.
Shove it.
All right. Gosh. Goodness me. Never... Wow. He had to open the door again just to slam it.
Yeah, I bet he was good. I didn't slam properly.
Highs of 21.
XFM.
2 days ago on the important broadcast, I compared the values and strategies of global radio to those of the Staatssicherheitspolizei, who surreptitiously ruled over the former German Democratic Republic from 1950 to 1990, actively encouraging colleagues and neighbours to spy on one another after I read out an email which seemed to imply the same should be done to people that we witness spilling coffee. I'm happy to say that I now accept that spilling coffee is no laughing matter. Carpets cost money. It's just a fact of life, particularly when the carpet in question is a flat weave carpet created by interlocking warp and, of course, weft threads. And if we look at the colour and pattern of the carpet, we have to accept that coloured yarns with intricate designs, such as we enjoy here daily at Global Radio, are usually the most expensive due to the relatively slow speed of the manufacturing process. And I include even some faraway countries which do use exploitative labour, which is not what has happened in this case. I was wrong to imply that spilling coffee was somehow just something that a modern business has to accept may happen. I was wrong, and I accept that. Because really, it doesn't have to be this way. Now, just £5 will pay for a basic stain remover for Global Radio, which can be used for up to 10 stains. That's 10 cups of coffee, guys, and we can do this. £10 will buy 4 cheap trays from a market trader who will just be grateful for the attention. You give a man a lid, he'll sip a latte for a day. Give that man a tray, coffee spillages are down by 90%. Maybe more money can be spent on valuable team retreats in manor houses looking at spreadsheets, or even on helicopter rides to towns easily accessible by rail. Just hope I clean things, you know, clean things up for myself in the way that you might clean a stain.
I think they've got to him.
Just £5. We are XFL. We've had a special guest in the studio, didn't we, everybody? One of our confirmed consistent listeners, Yorkshire Grey, happened to be working just around the corner, just here on Leicester Square. And confirmed listener Richie had texted in saying, you know, he very much enjoyed 50 Shades of Dave, but surely we should be doing 50 Shades of Yorkshire Grey. And this just seemed, I mean, the serendipity that was at work there, the coincidence. I mean, it's extraordinary. So we put out an appeal for Yorkshire Grey to come in. We talked to him a little moment ago. And while we were playing Foo Fighters there, he delivered some more radio erotica. Now, I would say probably 75% of people were very comfortable with, you know, the suspense and romance that we brought to their lives. 25%, not as happy. I think a lot of men hiding their true feelings this morning. So, Yorkshire Grey, who is, he's a scaffolder, right? Works on the spanners. So already, quite sexy.
Yeah.
Sort of dirty hands. Well, he was very clean, but you can imagine, you know, oil, that sort of thing. It's all at play. Ladies love a scaffolder. That's my rule for life. So, we got Graham to record 50 Shades of Yorkshire Grey.
Work with nuts. Not just nuts, bolts and poles. Stiff metal poles. And also actually poles from Poland.
Yes, yeah, sure.
We stand shirtless in the morning sun. Me, the poles, and the poles. Giant metal rods stretching off into the sky. With little shirtless men standing on top. Little yellow helmets. High-vis yellow vests taut against our muscles. A single baked bean from our all-day $1.99 breakfasts slowly making its way down the front of our chins like a sexy orange snail leaving a trail of love. Yeah. Ladies, try a scaffolder today. We'll take you higher.
Oh, Yorkshire Grey. Britain's sexiest scaffolder. And I say that because he's outside Leicester Square now listening on a small radio with all his mates. XFM. It's Bright Side. The Killers. 6:36. You were the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Brand new feature. We go from Killers to Fillers. That's Matt's new idea. Killers to Fillers. Just talk us through Killers to Fillers.
Well, you play a Killers track.
Yeah.
And then you just fill some time.
No. Then you... I believe the way you pitched it yesterday was we talked to people filling things. So, Tom, are you there? Confirm listener Tom.
Hiya, yeah, I'm here.
Hello, you're on Killers to Fillers. And what are you what are you filling this morning?
I was filling sausages.
There you go. This is all a surprise to Matt. I've just invented a feature.
I think I was on this email.
So, Tom, it's the first time you've ever texted in the show, and it was a remarkable text. We're getting lots of, you know, various, you know, nice texts about the weather and about the music. And then there's one that just says, Danny, just want to let you know, I'm currently filling sausages with my mate, Dave. So it's just a couple of guys filling sausages. Where are you filling sausages this morning, Tom?
Hartford Tesco.
You're in Hartford. And are you a freelance filler? Do you just move from location to location filling things? Or are you employed there?
I'm employed here. I'm covering a night shift at the minute. And we're finishing up, just finishing sausages, basically. So my mate Dave has texted a couple of times. And he said, you should text in and tell him, see if you get a phone call.
Man, so well. Dave knows us so well, exactly. He's like, oh, Wallace will love this. So how many sausages have you been filling this morning? Or have you just been filling one giant sausage?
Not one giant one, no. Okay. about 2.5 kgs we've done. Mainly butcher's choice.
Cages?
Wow.
Why are you keeping sausages in cages?
That's cruel.
It's cruel.
why are they in cages? Why do you keep a sausage in a cage? Why not a box? Why not a box or a piece of Tupperware? Where did the directive come from?
We keep them in a box.
Yeah. Obviously, we keep them in a box, but yeah, we keep the box on a cage, because then it's easier to move around the shop.
I
classic pallet scenario.
It's otherwise, they start running off, don't.
It's the classic pallet scenario, as Matt points out. And what's going on the rest of the day? I mean, you've kind of peaked. You filled all these sausages. How will you come down from this?
Oh, well, I'm going to start home about half eight, and then I'll be sleeping, basically. I'll have two slices of buttered toast, and then that'll put me down until about 6 o'clock tonight.
You're not a baby. What do you mean it'll put you down?
Oh,
this is the sweetest thing I've ever heard. Two slices of buttered toast, and that'll put you down until about six. Oh, that's so sweet.
I might have a sausage sandwich.
Oh, well, why not? Yeah. Taking your work home with you. You've got to relax. Don't do that. Don't do that, Tom. Hey, listen, have a great day. Give our love to Dave. Amazing. Killers to Fillers. That's the brand new feature we'll never do again.
XFM.
I've just been looking through the papers that we get here to the studio every day. We get the Mirror, we get the Sun, we get the Star, the Mail, the Guardian, the Telegraph, the Express. Never opened that one, but we do get it. And also, of course, like all commercial radio breakfast shows, we get the Loughborough Echo.
Of course.
125 years old this year. Fantastic paper. I used to live in Loughborough. I was actually a VIN, which is a very important news hound for the paper, which was the Echo's, I guess, sort of child labour scheme. And I have in front of me, this is exciting, the Loughborough Echo twit list, okay? Loughborough's most influential tweeters. At last, it's out. At last, it's out. But first of all, and this will surprise you, Matt, striking, looking at this list, who is noticeable by their absence? It's a pretty controversial list this year. We've all got our favourite Loughborough celebrities, haven't we? Probably the one that you're thinking of there, Matt, is high jumper Ben Challenger, son of Shawaddy Waddy drummer Romeo Challenger.
Of course, yeah.
He didn't even place on this list.
What? He does some great tweets.
I never thought I'd see the day, yeah. No one, in fact, from the Challenger dynasty is on there. Where's Coronation Street's Roy Cropper? Where is Felix Buxton of Basement Jacks? I'm looking. I can't see him. Where in the name of Great Central Railway is Bonnie Holt from Big Brother 7? Where's Fred Bowers, the breakdancing pensioner, who, of course, made the semi-finals of Britain's Got Talent in that classic year 2009? If they're not on the list, then who is? You know, who is? So, I thought I'd share this with you. And to help with the countdown, I've got Isaac Ashe, multimedia journalist at the Loughborough Echo.
Hello, I'm Isaac Ashe, multimedia journalist at the Loughborough Echo.
Just said that. How are you, Isaac?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. Here we go then, everybody. Who's at number 10? Well, no surprises here. It's Olympic triathlete Will Clark. Sample tweet. Got a 10-miler to complete in about 5:20 pace. Classic stuff. Okay. At number 9, great British freestyle swimmer and Olympic medalist, it's Joe Jackson. In at 8, British 400-metre runner, it's only Martin Rooney. Who's up next, Isaac?
The nation's health guru is only fit for a place at number 7. It's Rosemary Connolly.
Rosemary Connolly, everybody. Number 7, she was a contestant at ITV's Dancing on Ice 2012, of course. We do have a comment from her. She says, I'm quite selective as to what I put on Twitter, but I do find it a happy medium with which to communicate to the outside world, and people can either read it or not. Exciting quotes. More if you follow Rosemary Connolly. At number 6, of course, ladies European Tour player, it's golfer Melissa Reid. And at 5, world champion British backstroke swimmer, it's Liam Tancock. Sample tweet, time for bed. Night, everyone. You can look him up on Twitter. At 4, of course, it's web designer Steve Corbett. Steve recently oversaw the budgetbannersforyou.co.uk website overhaul, bringing it in on time and on budget. Nice work, Steve. Isaac, who's at number 3?
This Olympic gold medalist will have to settle for bronze when it comes to tweeting. It's Seb Coe.
Lord Coe at 3, Matt. What a come down for the big man. You know, he thought this was his year, didn't he?
Yeah.
No way. So it's the final 2. Isaac, who's next?
She has a real talent for running marathons and writing in 140 characters or less. It's Paula Radcliffe.
Radcliffe, Matt. Radcliffe's at 2. Paula Radcliffe. Well, that just leaves us with the top spot, doesn't it?
Oh.
Who could be at number 1?
Congratulations, XFM DJ Danny Wallace. You're Loughborough's most followed individual on Twitter.
Hey! There you go!
Wow.
There you go! It's me! It's me, Matt.
Whoa.
I am Loughborough's most followed individual on Twitter. In your face, Lord Coe. In your face, Rosemary Conley. Oh, Liam Tancock. Your boys took a hell of a beating. Great Central Railway, I did it for you. Jeff's Toys on the High Street. Couldn't have done it without you guys. To Clive Woodward, Steve Backley, Laurie Sanchez, where were you? Yeah, you only went to university there, but still, I put the time in. Hard Loughborough, Leicestershire graft, and it's paid off. To Mrs. Jenner at Hollywell County Primary School, who said we should temper our dreams, who said we should keep our feet on the ground, I say to you, madam, dare to dream. Look at me now, Mrs. Jenner. I'm flying. I'm flying and you can't reach me. I'm flying over Loughborough's Carillion, over the leisure centre, where they used to do the roller disco. Little Daniel, if you're down there, dare. Dare to dream. And follow me on Twitter at Danny Wallace. And of course, the Loughborough Echo at Lough Echo. We are XFM, the home of Leicestershire Twitter-based lists.
XFM.
Matt, did you ever work with Lee from Blue at a tuna packing factory in Torquay? Was that you?
No.
Is that you? That wasn't you?
No.
Do some of your friends, did some of your friends call you Terry Dactyl? Is that you?
No.
No. Did your sister have the organ player at her wedding do the Star Wars theme as she walked down the aisle? Was that you?
I haven't got a sister, so no.
Do you live near a heliport? Did you ever see Will.i.am getting into a helicopter dressed in white jeans, which made him sort of glow almost at the top of this?
I have been near him once.
You have? That wasn't you, though, was it? No?
No,
that wasn't you either. Did you have a math teacher called Mrs. Lilford?
No.
Who once came back from the toilet? You know, that wasn't you either?
No.
Are you 29?
No.
Right. Do you love Moonraker and animal puns and the film Caddyshack?
Yeah. Well, yes, actually I do, yeah.
Did you invent something called mackerel faces or enjoy calamari? Do you describe Battersea as batter on sea? Is this you? Is this you we're talking about?
I'm gonna from now on.
Are you just back from Vegas?
What?
Where you found you were $1,000 up?
Where's this coming from?
Do you know, I think I've got you confused with the entire text history of confirmed listener Billy from Battersea. I think that's what I've done. We are Danny Analytics. So here we go, everybody. What have we learned today during the important broadcast? Matt.
Well, first, let me tell you that no animals were harmed during the making of this programme, despite confirmed listeners Tom and Dave revealing on The Breakfast Show earlier that they store sausages in cages.
Yes.
They listen to us of a morning while doing an overnight shift in the butchery department of Tesco in Hartford, stuffing minced pork into natural casings, and we love them for it.
We do. I was going to say all killers, no fillers, but now we've got a couple of fillers.
Yeah.
So a tough show for Matt today. The usual stumbles, lackluster delivery, and lackadaisical attitude to professional practices. Yes, that's fine. That's normal. But after a condescending flurry of jealous emails yesterday informing me that I should not be developing features on or around the weather because I was misinformed about heavy rain overnight and calling me Dandy Dan, it turned out old Dandy Dan here was right. That, coupled with something we'll refer to from now on simply as Rainergate, means my usually at least affable co-host was like a knotted ball of barely concealed rage for the entire duration of the four-hour important broadcast. Fair enough, Matt?
Yeah, I'm over it now, though.
XFM.
So there you go. That was podcast number 47 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Now starting, by the way, at 6. Matt, just give me 5 seconds of your own laddish behaviour.
Whee, lightweight, you melt. Down it. Come on, down it.
That's what your mum said.
Oh, no, we can't say that.
That's what your mum said. It's a good outlay, that. I like that. It's a good out. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.